message tonight is how to appear before God not empty. Deuteronomy 16. I want to read just two passages or so to introduce the subject and then tell you how to carry out in a positive manner what God says shall not be done. Verse 16, Deuteronomy 16. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. Listen again in verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. And now, chapter 26. Let me tell you now that tonight I am simplifying this, making it easy to understand, giving a few technical details, but not many, just making it so that you will be able to appear before God not empty. Keep that in mind. Deuteronomy 26, verse 1, and it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which thou shalt bring in from thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. And thou shalt come unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the land which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. Look at verse 10. And now, behold, I have brought the first of the fruits of the ground, which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it down before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in all the good which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thy house, thou, and the Levite, and the sojourner that is in the midst of thee. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Life to come, and life in this world as well. Our God, how complete, how perfect is this book from which we've read. We desire that thy Spirit may illumine us to know where to look, how to search it, how to use it for the blessing of our souls, that we might be the men and women of God that thou dost demand of us. So this night, Father, from what we've read and the scriptures that we are to consider, would you illumine us, the hearts of those who are listening, the lips of him who speaks. We do pray, our God, that something of worth, of lasting value, shall be accomplished, and thou shalt be worshipped in spirit and in truth, and thy Son shall be glorified. Thou hast promised that if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness, and that is what we do. So, our God, bless our time together tonight, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I am no farmer. I am no dairy man. But I know more about gardening spirits. spiritually than you do, and I know more about cattle spiritually than you do. You say, what do you mean? What I mean is this, that God in this physical creation, all the things that grow and all the beasts that he has created, he has given us a spiritual lesson. And when God tells the Israelites, none shall appear before me empty, the only way that they can fulfill that command of God is by bringing to him something that has sprung from the ground, or some domesticated beast that is theirs that they can present to God. Now, I learned about gathering fruit, and later from the Word of God, I learned about rounding up cattle. But what is so remarkable is that as a young boy, I learned about gathering fruit. I knew of its desirability, how much it could be enjoyed, and in my neighborhood, as a young boy, I knew where to lay my hands on fruit as it was produced. And amazing that for 55 years now, I can still remember the fruit, and I can still remember where they were located, and I can remember going there and gathering those fruits. I knew where the apples were. I can tell you, there was an old boiling home there, and they had a delicious apple tree. I must add that I was young and unsaved, and I was gathering fruits that were not mine, but I knew where they were. And so the apple tree that bore delicious apples were in the side of the backyard of the boiling home. I knew where a pomegranate tree was. That was down the street around the block where the Weathers lived. I only knew of one pomegranate tree. I knew where the cherry tree was. That was where Martha Ann Center lived, and two doors up from her was a cherry tree that bore delicious cherries. I knew where the grapes were. I knew where the scuppernong grapes were, and then I could go on and tell you of other things, and I knew where the pecan trees were. And why I laugh now is that God said concerning these Israelites, you have to bring of the first fruits. And I'm thinking back that anyone in our neighborhood never was able to bring of the first fruits because we little rascals in the neighborhood had already taken the first fruit. Because as soon as we knew it was ripe, and we knew when the cherries were going to be ripe, and when the apples were going to be ripe, and when the nuts were going to be ripe, we were there right at the first, and we were gathering those fruits. Now, isn't this remarkable? That as a youth, I knew how good these things were, I knew where they were, and I knew how to gather them. And I tell you that I can gather more fruit spiritually than I did as a young man, and now I gather it honestly, and yet I challenge you to tell me where you would find any apples in the Bible. Tell me where. Tell me where you would find any pomegranates in the Bible. Where would you find any figs in the Bible? Where would you find any grapes in the Bible? You say, well, I can't remember offhand. Then it means this, that you have not been doing as God told you to do. Because if I, over 50 years ago, was in the habit of gathering fruit, and at this date I can remember just where that fruit was to be gathered, do you not understand that if you had been gathering fruit so that you would not appear before God empty. Week after week, you would know every place in the Bible where these fruits that God wants you to bring are contained. But you don't know. And that is why you appear before God empty. Now, I say that not to rebuke you, but I say it, and I'm taking it for granted, tonight, but after the night, never again. I'm telling you where to find all of these fruit trees. And once I tell you, and that's what we would do, some of the fellows in the neighborhood would say, we found another fruit tree. We found another grape vine. And so we would go. And so for that reason, I am taking it for granted and saying, you have never learned where these fruit trees are in the Bible, and therefore, I have to tell you. And having told you, you go there. And if you go there time and time again, then soon you know where to get the fruits that are gathered. All right. Keep this in mind. That these fruits that are in the Bible are to be offered to God, a physical act. You were to go to your garden and take these fruits and put them in a basket and bring them to God. Just that simple. That's all. And what I've done is to think of some of the fruits that God wants that are in the Bible. And when they brought these fruits and set them before God, it was simply an act of gratitude because of the goodness that God had caused their land to give abundance of fruit. It brought forth abundantly, and they were to choose the first fruits, and they were to put them in a basket, and they were to bring them to God. And so for that reason, I know where in the Bible to find some olives, and I know where to find some apples, and I know where to find some pomegranates, and I know where to find some dates, and I know where to find some figs. I know where to find all of these things. Why? Because I knew what the message was going to be tonight, and so I looked and found these places where the fruits are. I knew in general, but just as I know where they are in general, I went and found them. It's like this. I was given some fruit of the ground for lunch, and I want some more before I go, but I can't tell you where to find it. This fellow that gave it to me has hidden it, because he said, when people come down the highway, if they could see it, why, they would take it, you see. But I'm going to try to find out where it is, and I know about going and gathering it. Well now, after tonight, what you have to do is to know where these things are, and the spiritual significance of them, and that way, when you come to the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day, you can come with a basket full of fruit, and you will not be embarrassed because you appear before God empty, but you will be embarrassed because you have brought so much to God, you are not able to set it before Him and offer it up to His glory. Wouldn't that be a remarkable thing? I had heard that the people of God are always being asked for money. More, more. But there is a time in the Bible, when the children of God are requested to bring the materials for the tabernacle, and they brought, and Moses said, you bring enough and too much. Have you ever heard an evangelist say that over television ministry? Look, don't send any more money. We have more. Have you ever heard that before? Well, this is what you find in the Word of God, and that is what can happen in a remembrance meeting. If we learn how to gather a basket of fruit and bring it before God. Because if we all came full, this is what would have to happen. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, understand that I'm, without giving details, I'm simplifying this so you can understand. It says, what is it then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you hath, and it mentions something that is wrought. But every one of them came with something. But it said, now if you come with a tongue, only two, or at the most three, can speak. But I came with a basket full. God said, that's all right. You were ready. You come to the basketball. But it may not be that my spirit will prompt you to speak today. That's in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 14. And it said, let your prophet speak two or three at a time, and let the others judge. And so one came with a revelation from God. And God said, I want this prophet, and this prophet to speak. And the other prophets were there, prepared, but God said, I wasn't having you to speak today. So, just as in the case of Moses saying, send materials for the tabernacle, and with so much material that Moses said, stop. So if all of us gathered fruit as God would have us to, then the Spirit of God would have to say, wait, there are too many of you with something to say. I will have to not let you speak this week, but next week I will lay it upon your heart. I will give you utterance next week. Wouldn't that be a remarkable thing? But I do not remember experiencing such a remembrance meeting. Perhaps with people that want to preach, but the Lord says, you shall not appear before me empty. If you come with preaching, you brought something for the people of God. If you come with fruit, you come with something for God. And if you come to the remembrance meeting to preach, praise God for that. Stir my heart up. But if you come with a basket full of fruit, you come to worship God. And God's command not to appear before him empty is fulfilled. So indeed, as the Savior said, feed my lambs and feed my sheep, with appropriate scriptures, bring thoughts of Christ to the hearts of the children of God. But at the same time, let each one of us come with a basket full, and so full, that when we stand up, we are able to intelligently express ourselves. Now, I'm not rebuking you. I'm sympathizing with you, because there are those who love the Lord and want so much to worship him, but they do not know how to worship him. And that is why they say, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. And Lord, we thank you that you've been so good for us and you've given us food to drink and shelter. That's fine. But you haven't brought any food to God. You haven't fulfilled the command that God is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And the reason that you do that is that you want to tell God something, but you are not capable of telling God something, because people have to be taught to worship. It's not an embarrassment for someone to teach you to worship, because the disciples came to the Savior and they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray. And so some come and they want to pray, but I listen to them and I say, there's not much in that basket. I see that their hearts are zealous, but what they say, I understand that they do not know where the fruit is. They do not know how to gather that fruit. And once it is gathered, they do not know how to bring it and give it to the priest and have the priest to set it before the altar. Because if you knew how to gather fruit, as God in his goodness has taught me how to gather fruit, then you would be able to worship God to such a degree and with such intelligence that people, instead of saying, well, I wish you would pray longer, I wish more would pray, they would say, he's telling God too many wonderful things about himself. But, again, I have never seen that. So, when I come, listen to what I say at the remembrance meeting, and if I stand up and worship God, listen to the fullness and weight of my words, or listen to the emptiness and shallowness of my words. And then, it may be like the Jews. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And I have a longing to worship God, but not according to knowledge. So this is what you do. You ascertain from Scripture the spiritual significance of each one of these fruits that I've told you about, and then you intelligently understand its spiritual interpretation, and then, with your lips, you offer that fruit to God. If it were a physical act, you would go through your garden and you would find the choicest fruit in your garden, on your farm, and you would pick it. The fact that you knew it was the best and the finest, that was the exercising of your intelligence. God said it must be the first fruit and it must be the best. You have to do that. And if you were in your garden, then you would choose the first and you would choose the best. And when you had done that and put it in a basket and set it before God, your responsibility was ended. Now, in like manner, there is so much in the Bible that God tells us that we are to bring it and give it to Him, but what you do is to know where the fruit is, its spiritual significance, and then be able to interpret that, cause the fruit of your lips, the fruit of your lips, to interpret that piece of fruit to God. And then you're worshiping God acceptably. Now let me give you an example. I'm not going to tell you all these things, but I'm going to tell you about these things, and once I give you the gist of it, the sad thing is this. You'll say, why, it's so simple. Yes, I know how to worship God, but it may be that all your life long you've never known how to worship God. That is why at times I'm hesitant to tell people, because if you tell them things just from the Bible, how God tells you to do it, they say, well, that's easy, that's simple. He doesn't know anything about the Bible. Others will tell you things outside the Bible. But find out how God tells you to do things. All right, let's say this. That through the week, you have been gathering fruit. If you are in Exodus chapter 15, you come to the place where there are 70 palm trees. You get date palms. And so there is one of the places that you gather dates. And what is so remarkable, and I'm going to give you this key and let you read it now, another place that you gather great amounts of fruit, varieties of fruit, are in different portions of the Word of God. So turn to Judges, and I'll give you the clue immediately. Turn to Judges, chapter 9. Now I'm going to read a portion to you, and if God has given you discernment, you'll say, of course. Verse 7 of Judges 9. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, you want some olives? All right. They said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honored God and man, and go the way to and fro over the trees? You say, why, here is an olive, and here it is interpreted for me, the significance of the olive. Yes. Look at verse 9, or verse 10. And the tree said to the fig tree, come bow and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go the way to and fro over the trees? You say, well, here is the fig tree, and it tells me the significance of the fig tree. Verse 12, and the tree said unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my new wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to wave to and fro over the trees? You say, why, that is elementary. But of course it is. We have made it difficult. And therefore, if you say, I am going to gather some fruit for God today, it may be that this day you're going to gather an entire basket of olives. And if that is so, here is the interpretation of it. It may be that you want to gather some olives and some figs and some grapes and bring them to the basket. And as I told you in past weeks, you have to come, and God said, hearken, O Israel. Now I'm telling you this, be silent. Understand it. So when you come to a remembrance meeting there has to be that reverence, but there has to be that discernment. Because perhaps several brethren have come with baskets full, and some have olives and figs and grapes, and the one that God moved to speak first will bring forth olives and start speaking of olives to God. And you can say, Father, I have olives in my basket also. Or it may be that he starts telling you about grapes, and you say, Father, I have some grapes in my basket as well. Do you understand? And then what you do is to understand that all of these fruits are spiritual interpretations of the character and life of Christ in his humanity. You say, how can that be? There's so many things that I could tell you, but I'll have to abbreviate and just tell you a few. Now, concerning the olive, and another place to look for abundance of fruit, you'll find it in the Song of Solomon, and you'll find it also in the fruits that are to be offered that are associated with the tabernacle, and it speaks about oil for the lamp. That is olive oil. And the word olive means fatness. And it is because the olive is crushed and out of it comes oil. And with that oil, man is anointed. And with that oil, the lamps have the oil poured into them and they give light in the holy place before God. So you say, for the olive is significant of anointing and light, yes. And the Lord Jesus says in Isaiah 61, the Lord God hath anointed me with the Spirit. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And it tells us this, that the Lord Jesus was God's anointed one, and the Lord Jesus is the one who was anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, because the oil is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God was upon him, and the Lord Jesus was moved, and all his utterances were by the guidance of the Spirit, and the entrance of thy word giveth light. And the Lord Jesus is illumining the world by the enlightenment that the Spirit of God gives him. So if you come next Lord's Day, and you want to worship God in spirit and in truth, take some olives and crush them, and see the oil come out, and tell the Father about his anointed. That's what he wants. Tell about the Father when he anointed the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was baptized in Jordan, and the Spirit of God descended as a dove upon him and a bowl upon him. Tell the Father about his anointed, and then tell the Father how the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, how he shines into your darkened heart, and how a world that is filled with darkness is illumined because of the Spirit's presence in the life of Christ. You say, yes, of course. And so next week, when you want to tell the Father about the Son, do not say, Lord, thank you for your Son. Don't say, thank you for your Son. Jesus is so wonderful. You're wanting to speak, but you don't know how to speak. But when God says, bring me an olive, you can say, Father, I thank you for the anointed one. I thank you that your Son was constantly guided by the Spirit. Father, your Son is the light of the world. He is shining. You say, why, of course. Now, which would you rather hear me tell God? Something like I just told you, or just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. You say, well, why what you told me at the first? Of course, because what I'm telling you is what God has told us. Now, we're going to consider the grape. It speaks of the vine. You say, the vine. And here is wine that cheereth the heart of God and man. And here is the fruit of the vine. And the Lord Jesus took the cup and he said, I shall no more drink of the fruit of the vine. You say, why, this is the emblem of the covenant that the Lord Jesus Christ made. This is the joy, the cheer, the rejoicing that he brings into our lives and in his life, because the Lord Jesus spoke of his joy as well as his sadness? You say, yes, yes. And so perhaps you're going to bring some grapes next week. That is fine. Let me tell you about this concerning the apple. It says that the apple is that which is fragrant. That's the significance, the root significance of the word apple. And so come and tell the Father about the fragrance of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the Song of Solomon, it says, strengthen me with apples, comfort me with apples. And so here is the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who is fragrant, who through his fruit comforts your heart, strengthens man. And this is so remarkable, and I'm just telling you this, and it is how it appears to me, some of the things. The other things, it's not how they appear to me. When you have the oil, I know that the oil is the Spirit of God, and the oil in the lamp, the Lord Jesus is the light. This is the Spirit causing the Lord Jesus Christ to shine. The Lord Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God. That is no doubt. But then there are some that are more difficult. But it said, a word fitly spoken is like an apple of gold in a setting of silver. A word fitly spoken is like an apple. And what comes to my mind is that in Isaiah 50, the Lord Jesus said, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And so if you're thinking about an apple and you have an apple to give to God, say, Father, I thank you for your Son who went about speaking words in season to those that were weary, uplifting the downcast, knowing the word to speak when one needed rebuking, as when his disciples said, do not bring the children to the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for him who is your apple. Now, do you understand? You say, why? Of course, and it's so elementary. And the reason that you were not able to do this before, no one had taught you. But now that I have taught you, I've given you the gist of it, all you have to do is to say, well, I think I'm going to talk about figs today. I think I'm going to talk about dates today. Praise God. But when you go through your garden, you be sure that you have the best and you understand the spiritual interpretation, and then you give God the fruit of your lips. In the Old Testament, they brought literal things to God. And in the New Testament, we interpret the spiritual significance of those things, and with the fruit of our lips, we give them to God. And so I bring apples to God, and I bring grapes to God, and I bring olives to God. It depends on what I have. All right. Now this. It says that the man shall bring as God enables him, as God has blessed him. I tell you this. You are as rich as I am. Tell me, you have a Bible? Is it the same Bible as mine? You say yes. Well then, this is all the land where the fruit grows, and it's yours, and it's mine. The only difference should be this. Knowing where to find that fruit, and knowing how to interpret that fruit. But once you know where to find it, and once you know how to interpret it, then you're as rich as I am. You understand? You say yes. So, there is no man that is poor. There is no man who does not have an orchard, who does not have a farm, who does not have abundance of fruit. And for that reason, it is simply knowing where that fruit is. It's knowing how to gather it and put it in a basket. And then when you set it before the altar, how to interpret it to God. So you are as rich as I am. You may not know how to gather, and you may not know how to interpret, but God will enable you as you exercise yourself. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And you can exercise your heart and can discern Christ spiritually, not in a fantastic way, not in a fanciful way, but in a way similar to what I've told you. That is what to do. Now, I'm going to give you another one. I told you about fruits. But in the Song of Solomon, it speaks about a garden of nuts. And concerning them, I will speak of the almond. Where are you going to find an almond in the Bible? You know where an almond tree is? Why, the light, the lampstand that was in the holy place was an almond tree. You say, yes. In number 17, you have the interpretation of that nut, that almond, and in Greek, it is this. It is Christ in death and resurrection. You say, how do you know that? This is the story. In number 17, people have been murmuring and criticizing Moses and Aaron, and God said, I'm going to put an end to this murmuring. He said, let every member of each tribe bring me a rod of the tribe of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, that everyone bring a rod, and let him put his name on that rod. And let Aaron, for the house of Levi, let him put his name on a rod. And you bring them and give them to Moses. And Moses took them and set them in the tent before God. And God said, come back tomorrow morning, and I will show you the one that is to represent me, the one whom I have set over the children of Israel as the priest. And so the next morning they came back, and 11 of the dead rods were dead rods still. But they took the rod of Aaron, and it said it had budded, it had blossomed, and ripe almonds were on it. And God said, take that rod and lay it up, we find from Hebrews 9, in the Ark of the Covenant. So here is the almond, who is Jesus Christ in resurrection. There is life in no other man, but there is life in Jesus Christ the Lord. And so, when you bring your basket next week, bring some almonds in that basket and tell how only Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And understand how Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were God, because I live, ye shall live also. You say, yes, I want to bring some almonds to God. And when you interpret those almonds, then you are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And the people of God will be fascinated, and they will understand that you have been gathering fruit, and that you've been growing, and you have discernment. And then the remembrance meeting will not be one of barrenness. I told you that there were three silences, and the one silence is this, because God has done such great things, turned my mourning to dancing, taken off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. I shall not be silent. And because of all that God has done, you shall bring all of these fruits of which I told you, and you shall bring them into the presence of God and set them before him. And then the people of God will be thrilled, and there will not be that barrenness. There will not be that dearth. They will not appear before God empty and cause the remembrance meeting that should be the most precious to be the least desirable of meetings. But it shall be one that the people of God will come with attention and with interest, desiring to know what aspect of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be presented by these brethren today. And so you sisters, pray for that. There's so much more I could tell you. I just told you about the fruit. I was going to also tell you about the animals, but that at another time in the will of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that the Lord Jesus was that grain of wheat that fell into the ground and died. And here we are, Father. He has brought forth much fruit. We are thankful for thy Son as the pomegranate. Our God, we rejoice that you, in your wisdom, giving us a physical creation, are able to teach us. As thy Son said, now, from the fig tree, learn her parable. We thank you, Father, for everything we learn, from figs and pomegranates and grapes and olives and raisins. We are thankful, our God, for all these things. So let us be intelligent. Let us know that each one of us is equally rich. All the possessions belong to us all. So teach us to know where these fruits are to be found in your garden, our God. And let us be those that gather well. And let us be those that are able to bring them and set them before thee and then display them intelligently as you give us utterance. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.